Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, welcome to the Bustle Huddle. I'm Caitlin Apper, your host and senior features editor here at Bustle. Okay, cue the confetti. This is the 10th episode of the Bustle Huddle. On the first episode of the Huddle, we talked about how we're sure 2018 is not going to suck. But there have been some really challenging days this year. That said, we made a commitment to stay positive and practice radical optimism. And luckily, we have a lot of inspiration to draw from. Today's guests demonstrate just some of the reasons that I'm personally grateful to live in 2018. Things are changing and young people are taking over. First, Bustle's film editor, Rachel Simon, sits down with the cast and director of the new film, Love, Simon.
I'm done living in a world where I don't get to be who I am. I deserve a great love story, and I want someone to share it with.
Afterwards, YouTube sensation Hannah Hart and I have a heart-to-heart, get it, about her new podcast, Hanalyze This, which breaks new ground on how we talk about mental health and getting through life's roughest patches. All right, let's do this thing. So I'm psyched to welcome Rachel Simon, Bustle's movie editor, to the podcast. So Rachel, tell us a little bit about this new movie, Love, Simon. It's all over my Instagram, Twitter feeds.
As it should be. I mean, Love, Simon is a really great movie. Well, it's actually the first ever mainstream movie to be about a gay teenager, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Really? Who is the director and the star of it?
So it's directed by Greg Berlanti, which some people will know is one of the biggest producers in TV. He's the guy who's behind The Flash and Supergirl and a lot of the other huge shows on the CW. And it stars Nick Robinson, who is still pretty much on the rise, but he was in the movie Everything Everything last year and is really, really good as Simon. And it also has Katherine Langford, who people might know as Hannah Baker from 13 Reasons Why, and Alexandra Shipp, who plays Storm in the new X-Men movies.
Okay, that is an impressive cast. I know you actually talked to the director, Greg.
He said that story was so important to him. I mean, he's a gay man himself. He's spoken publicly before about his struggle to come out and the adversity he's faced for his sexual orientation.
What hit me so viscerally about it, you know, when I first read it, was just, it was like every other great teen coming of age film that I saw growing up. Just the protagonist happened to be gay. It was well told, it was funny, it was heartfelt, and it made me really emotional. But I had a much more pronounced reaction than I probably would have were it a straight protagonist. Mm-hmm. And so while I was applying for the job to direct it, I kept kind of asking myself, why are these very simple story beats having such an emotional impact on me? And the more we made the movie, and actually the more it got realized, started adding actors and seeing the moments and watching playback and cuts and scenes, I became really aware that it was just seeing my story represented, the gay story represented in this way, was more emotional than I thought it would be.
What about the cast? Did any of them have a personal connection to the subject matter?
Nick actually talked about how playing Simon, he felt a lot of pressure because he knew how important the movie would be to so many people.
There was the added expectations of we're making something that is going to help people and all of that. So we were just trying to mainly focus on making Simon a real kind of fully fleshed out character without playing into any kind of stereotypes or tropes that you would typically see with a gay protagonist. I think oftentimes when you have someone at the lead of a film who is also a gay character, they, for some reason, they have to be going through some, emotional crisis, whether it's disease or a drug addiction or bad family life. And I feel like this film, what makes it unique is the fact that this is, at least on the surface, a fairly well-adjusted kid.
And Katherine Langford, who plays Simon's friend in the movie, actually had some personal experiences of her own that helped her connect.
For Leah, there's such a special relationship with Simon, and I had a lot of friends who came out to me in high school, and I think that I really resonated with that and the support aspect of that.
Okay, so at the heart of this movie is high school. Did the cast have their own funny high school experiences?
Oh, they did. I actually asked them all about what their most embarrassing moments in high school were, as well as the good parts. And the director, Greg, actually talked about the most embarrassing story of all of them.
I was a high school puppeteer.
What?
I never really had a good day socially. I still go to events in my hometown, and they'll still say, like, puppet guy.
Oh, my God. No. So
you know, and you'll say, like, oh, yeah, I've done some other things now.
And when Catherine was in high school, she was actually voted a superlative that kind of predicted where she ended up now.
So in my high school yearbook, it was most likely to become a Hollywood star, whatever that is.
I was best dressed.
What?
Nice. That's really but cool. You should also know that my mom dressed me most of high school. No joke.
Yeah. Did you get any high school superlatives?
No, I didn't make any of the superlatives.
Yeah.
I, you know, they only had a couple. I had a small school, and I still wish I'd gotten something, but yeah. I've learned to live with it. So.
Well, thanks so much, Rachel. This
my
was
pleasure.
Great.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so our next guest is one of the most prolific and creative minds on the internet. While you probably know Hannah Hart from YouTube, she's now joined the podcast world with her own show, Hannalyze This. It's all about self-help and mental health, two things I'm really grateful we can openly talk about in 2018. Hannah, congratulations on your new podcast.
Oh, my, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So it's called Hannalyze This.
It is indeed. Yes, it's our podcast. It's called Hannalyze This, and it is just as punny as the title implies.
Love a pun.
It's me and my best friend, Hannah Gelb, another Hannah, which is why I wanted to Hannalyze things. The loose theme of the podcast is basically in the self-help world, it feels like there's really, you know, just two sides of the spectrum. There are the people that are like, I'm floating in a lotus flower, as if it's so easy. And then the other side of the spectrum is somebody being like, whoa, I'm a hot mess. I'm destroying my life, but who cares? Wah. And I really think that, you know, most of us, myself included, we fall somewhere in the middle. So what we do is we try out different self-help techniques, books, practices, exercises, etc. And we report back on how the experience was for us, whether or not they were great or whether or not they were bullshit. I like to call it the self-help podcast that just can't help itself.
Have you always had a curiosity about these sort of things, or is this something new for you?
Yeah, no, it's my favorite topic. That's why Hannah and I call it Hanalyze This, is because we always Hanalyze with each other, you know, which is our version of self-analysis and reflection. For instance, we tried a float tank. And for me, the float tank was a really difficult experience. And I'm toying with the idea of going back, but I didn't necessarily love it. But I did feel some therapeutic benefits after.
What did you not love about it? Because I've definitely thought about it, but there's like a claustrophobic sort of feeling I'm worried about.
You know what? I didn't love the experience of it or being in there. It was horrible and I hated
okay.
it. Yeah. So on episode 2 of Hannalyze This, available wherever you like to listen to your podcast, we go in and we try what I like to call a watery coffin, a sensory deprivation chamber, or a float tank. And the idea behind the float tank is that it kind of helps guide you into, whether you like it or not, a meditative state. So those of us who really struggle with meditation or trying to get into that meditative place, the float tank kind of leads you there no matter what, because you're going to be floating in a black room in body temperature water for an hour. Whether you like it or not, you're going to start to meditate, you know, or you're going to kind of relax. Maybe I found it to be like a hypersensory chamber. I could hear the sound of like my body cracking and like the sound of the water and the building, the doors opening and shutting. It just was really it brought my sensors way, way up. And I just kept waiting to try and fall asleep.
Right. I feel like you're in this state of, am I relaxed yet? Am I relaxed yet?
Yeah.
Is this working?
And I felt like all this like anger and anxiety bubble up, which was something that I was not expecting at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which might have been good. It might have been the goal.
Who knows? Did you feel like it was released in that moment, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I guess we'll have to find out.
So you said you always have been interested in this kind of stuff, but kind of walk me through your own journey with mental wellness.
I go into kind of my discovery process of having depression and what that means, or having ADHD and getting diagnosed as an adult and its life-changing effects. Being someone that
has gone through a lot of different therapy. You know, I come from, as they say, like an adverse childhood background. There's actually a test you can take. It's the ACE, the Adverse Childhood Experience, I think, test. And it's on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like, I don't know, Partridge Family? I don't know. Were they a good family? I don't even know. But that's what I mean, the good one. And then 10 being like POW kind of thing. And like I have a 7. The average is like a 2, you know? And it's a really fascinating test if you ever want to be like, oh, wow, so maybe it is trauma. I live a life that is blissfully very busy and very full and has allowed me a lot of time to devote to my mental wellness because I so much want to be sustainable. And I so much have passion for my career, and I'm lucky enough to work in a career that I love. And so I think that my real progress began with that, with having something I loved so much that I could take care of myself for. It's kind of like if you have a child or if you, you know, get married, you have something like, okay, I really have to take care of myself because it's not sustainable to ignore myself.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think what's really cool about this, too, is that you're doing this show with somebody else who you love very much, right?
I love
your best
Hannah.
Friend.
Yeah.
And I think when you think about the people in your life and being, as you said, sustainable, that's such a good word for it. Like, you want to be sustainable for them, too.
Because it's so easy to discredit your needs. It's so easy to, you know, martyr yourself unnecessarily. And it's also so hard to push past the inhibitors that have been with you since childhood. You know, in therapy just last week, I was talking about, like, I think I said yes to one too many things. But my therapist said, well, have you been able to prioritize what you say yes to? And I'm like, everything's a priority. And she's like, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I was like, they all feel like 10s. She's like, okay, but what do you want? Do you want to do this? And I just felt so blank. Mm-hmm. I could not access the answer to that question. You know, I feel like if somebody asks me something and I can do it, then I do it. Because I'm like, yes, I am physically capable of doing this. So, okay. You know?
Yeah.
And that
it's hard to ask yourself, like, does this feel good?
That want language just didn't even register. So we broke it down to a 10 is, wow, I'm so excited. I can't wait. Like the way I feel about writing a book, or like a 10 is like the way I feel when I'm editing together a video I can't wait to post. It's like that really good feeling. That's like a 10. And a 1 is like how much hesitation, like did my stomach drop when they asked? Like was I like, oh God, I can't add this to my plate. You know, that's like a 1. And like a 2 is like, okay, yeah. Like, how much do I have to talk myself into it? A 3 is like, well, I don't want to disappoint somebody. A 4, et cetera, et cetera. So making this like tiny scale to help me find where want is.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What is something that will always be the 10? Like, what's your favorite thing to do?
Nothing is authentically a 10 100% of the time, right? So analyze this as a 10. Easy. But if I'm overwhelmed or overworked and not as prepared as I wanted to be going into the room and I didn't finish my outline or blah, 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 that's not hitting a 10. So everything changes. And I think one of the overarching messages of Analyze This that I really want to get out there is there are all these different systems and all these different measures, and it's about your relationship to those systems and knowing when to employ what. There's not one thing that you will do that will make you like, bing bong, like everything's great, you know, and there never will be. But there will be times in your life where you need to employ different systems, times for meditation, times for exercise, times for solo vacation, times for going out and doing karaoke and being so hungover the next day. Like, there's different times for different forms of catharsis.
And especially as times get more stressful for people, I think that that is especially important to remember, mm-hmm. is that there isn't one path. There mm-hmm. isn't one answer. There isn't one yoga video or one product or one kind of therapy even mm-hmm. that's really going to help you.
I feel like what people encounter, for those of us who are, you know, productive in our daily lives, or for those of us who are reliable, good friends, this and that, what we encounter when it comes to self-care is this feeling of resistance. And everyone's resistance has a different origin, has a different root. And so if you're like, okay, my friend said I should really try this float tank, or I should really go get a massage, or I should really go relax, it's don't focus on the action of the event. Ask yourself, why am I resisting? You know? And is it like, well, because I don't want to be sweaty when in the middle of my day? And it's like, okay, great. So don't exercise, do something else. If you find another excuse, then you're like, what are you resisting? What is that? And that's somewhere to start.
What are the things you're doing right now that are your, like, things that are helping you?
My stress level is directly related to how messy the house is. I grew up in a really, really, really messy house, like biohazard messy. Mm. So obviously it's nowhere near that. But I work from home, and when the sink is piled full of dishes, it, like, is pretty kind of haunting for me. And, like, weirdly, oddly, and this word gets overused, but triggering, and not triggering in like a, oh, wow, I'm dissociated kind of way, but, like, triggering in like a, you know, it's like now
things
my chest
aren't right.
My chest is tight. Whatever. Couldn't be for any reason.
And it's like, you know, it's something you have to do before you can. I'm the exact same way. I need to have order in my house in order to feel good about doing anything else.
Yeah.
Right? It starts there.
Let's say I've got to finish writing this article for Bustle. I'm like, okay, Hannah, you want to get this done? Just do it. And I'm like, oh, God, I really can't write when the house is messy. And it's like, okay, well, just go to a cafe. I really don't want to go to a cafe. And it's like, okay. And instead of ignoring the need, give yourself permission. Like, okay, you have 30 minutes to tidy up the room you're going to work in. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. why am I punishing myself by putting myself in a work environment that is less comfortable for myself? Would you ever make your friend work in an environment that they weren't comfortable in? No.
No, you shouldn't have to put up with it. But this also, I think, is something that happens, not calling you old, maybe I'm calling myself a little bit older with age, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think when I was in my early 20s, I cared much less about these things. Mm-hmm. How in your development, and especially like based on what you just said about your childhood, have you come to this place where you're like, I'm my number one?
It's a necessary learning curve, right? So your 20s are such a magnificent decade, but you are by no means a fully formed human. There's this great book called The Defining Decade, which talks about the experience of your 20s and how formative it is, because it really sets the attitude with which you treat yourself and you treat your life. I'm 31 now, and I'm really happy to be where I'm at. And I couldn't have gotten here without going through what I experienced in my 20s, without making the mistakes I made in my 20s, without learning the lessons. You're sifting out the stuff that you don't need that can just fall through, and then what you're left with is the material you're going to work with.
Hannah, we just talked to the cast of Love, Simon, and we played a little game with them about high school superlatives.
Ooh.
Did you have any superlatives in high school? Were you in the yearbook as...
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Funniest.
Shocking.
Yeah, every year, actually.
Every year? Like, yeah. Even as a freshman?
Like, fifth grade, eighth grade, senior.
Since fifth grade?
Yeah. That's a coping mechanism.
Wow, that must have gotten in your head.
Yeah. I also won Best Friends with my best friend. I also, like, yeah, it was pretty funny.
If you had to give yourself a superlative now, what would it be?
Most likely to stay in. I, for one, know the power of
what's your
saying yes
dream
to myself.
Stay in
my
night.
Dream stay in? I go home. My cats.
How many?
Two. I have two.
Okay. Our what are their names?
Lady and Charles.
Very cute.
Yeah, they're splendid. Mm-hmm. They're spectacular cats. I go in. I have a video game that I'm really passionate about right now. I have a very specific quest to do. I do it with my cats hanging out. Then my girlfriend gets home. She had a great night out on the town. She's in a great mood. We decide to watch a movie. The end. That's it. It's a great night. Everybody's
That's
happy.
Like really
Everybody's
nice
happy.
Night.
It's really good.
You know? So your girlfriend likes to go out more
yeah.
than you do.
Yeah, yeah. She's definitely the extrovert in the relationship. Yeah.
I feel you on all of these points. So we're going to play a game. There's a lot of self-care trends well, you live in LA, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of things that people are interested in right now, that, who knows what they are. Mm. I want to get your perspective on them. Mm. And so we're going to play a game called Woo Woo or Woo Woo.
Oh, I like all it. Right. I will say, in defense of Los Angeles and all cities in America, that we as a culture and society are pretty spiritually starved for purpose because we have this ideal of American uniqueness and independence and that our worth is based off of our product or productivity. And that, I think, is a really toxic belief, which is why we're probably one of not, if not the most depressed first world country, because we don't derive a sense of unity in our actions.
Also capitalism. Mm. But conversation for another time.
Different day.
Okay, tarot cards.
Tarot cards are 100% woo!
Yes.
Like that, yeah.
I used to be a non-believer, but we had a tarot card reader, Casey Halter, on the show a few weeks ago, and she kind of changed my life.
Wow. See, that's great. And like, honestly, it's the same thing as like my stance on the placebo effect where people are like, oh, that's just a placebo effect. I'm like, if it works, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Does it?
I know. I'm a big proponent of that as well.
Yeah.
So crystals, same thing?
Hmm. Okay. Is there a middle woo? I would say woo again. But I will say that like everything through the great gift of capitalism, there are people that will scam you and people that will blah. Like, and if you do the research around this stuff, I think you get more effect out of it.
Hypnosis.
I don't know. Probably works. I'm not excited to do it. I'm going to say, woo.
Yeah. I mean, I know people who have like quit smoking that way.
Yeah.
So
if it works, it works. Yeah. But like, I'm not getting in there. Yeah. I'm going to say this like, oh.
Gratitude journaling. This is something you've tried.
I have such mixed feelings on this because I feel like my relationship with gratitude must be distorted because I feel like so guilty for not being grateful enough. But then there are different states of gratitude you can be in throughout the day, like looking out the window and being like, wow, I'm looking at snow right now. Like I live in California. I don't get a lot of chances to see snow. I'm very happy to be looking out the window and seeing that. Gratitude journals, however, if it's going to get somebody into a gratitude practice, then I guess that's important. I just would encourage people to not quantify it in that way and limit it in that way.
Yeah, I also think gratitude is almost like a presence, right? Like you're saying, it's all around you all the time, but it's also in how you interpret bad things that are happening to you or interpret other people's sorrows.
Yeah. Something I like to think about when I am either like, let's say I've got disappointed about something didn't go how I thought it was going to go, or I got in a fight with a friend or whatever, and I'm like really starting to like stew on it. I think to myself, like, okay, like, let's take a step back from this feeling and remember that this is, right now is the time in my life where everyone I love, knock on wood, is still here. Like, my immediate family's all still here, you know? And that time will not last forever.
Yeah.
This is my youth. These are those moments. It's easy to lose track of that.
Astrology.
Woo!
Yeah, you do?
Man,
all right, what's your sign?
Scorpio.
Scorpio? Scorpios are good.
Mm-hmm. They're great. Thank you for saying Scorpios are good.
Yeah, I've always had like pleasant attractions.
Yeah, people are always like, Scorpios, ruh-roh. I'm always like, psh, you know?
So everyone needs to listen to Hanalyze This. It's available exact same place as the Bustle Huddle, wherever you listen to podcasts. And what else should people check out?
You can follow Hanalyze This on Twitter at HanalyzePod. That's HanalyzePod. You can find me on Twitter at Harto. Actually, you can find me all over the internet at Harto. That's HART as in Tom, O.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Hannah.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, you have to listen to Hanalyze This. It's definitely woo! Okay, that's it for today. Do you feel a little bit better about the rest of the year? I know I do. Next week, we're chatting with another totally inspirational star of 2018.
Before I got out here, I was getting dressed and I wanted to like look my best for you. And I lost a button. And like, I'm... Like, I'm embarrassed, but I'm not.
Yep, Olympic figure skater Adam Rippon will be joining us next week. This show was produced by Julia Hsu and Anna Parsons with editorial guidance from Roseanne Salvatore. Be sure to subscribe to The Bustle Huddle on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We want to hear what you love most about the show. You can reach us at huddle@bustle.com. I'm Caitlin Eber, and I'll see you next week.